Florida's Chief Financial Officer and head of the Florida Department of Financial Services, Jeff Atwater, shocked the state when he announced in February he would step down at the end of the 2017 legislative session to become Vice President of Strategic Initiatives and CFO for Florida Atlantic University. As Florida's CFO since 2011, Atwater has worked closely with the insurance industry. DFS oversees the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, as well as the Office of the Florida Insurance Consumer Advocate, who assists Florida residents with insurance-related questions or concerns. DFS is also home to the Division of Investigative and Forensic Services, which handles all insurance fraud-related investigations. One of Atwater's biggest priorities since he took office has been his commitment to rooting out fraud in Florida. Before he departed DFS, Atwater completed a 3-year effort to pass legislation that puts a comprehensive system in place to track and prosecute insurance fraud. Atwater spoke with Insurance Journal as he readied to move on to discuss his experiences with the insurance industry as CFO, including what about the industry has surprised him and frustrated him through the years, and how he thinks the industry could improve its customer relationships and gain support in its fight against insurance abuse.
Now, in your capacity as CFO and having worked with the industry and people in the industry, you know, what have you learned that you maybe didn't know before? What has surprised you the most, and what has disappointed you?
Well, what has surprised me to some extent is that, again, in my business world, my business background and experience is that you would see the unique events that would occur that might call upon an insurance company to act upon the promise that it had made and the contract that it had in place. Mm-hmm. But those occurrences, were addressed one way or the other. You saw them play out. You would also see from time to time an individual who tried to exploit the contract for personal gain, and where those were addressed. But you saw these one at a time across a swath of time, and you were dealing with, again, because you've made the loan to an individual, you had a pretty good sense of their character anyway. So mm-hmm. You saw these as transactions, and regrettably some transactions that may not have gone as well as they should have from either party, either the insurer or the insurance company. But what has surprised me, again, I'd say a little, is the magnitude of the fraud that exists in the marketplace that across virtually every line of insurance that is available to Floridians personally, mm-hmm. and in a commercial nature, and mm-hmm. and therefore I think that has been an eye opener, that I was aware of fraud, just not aware of how many organized crime rings there were, mm-hmm. Designed specifically to exploit opportunity, and again, maybe even more regrettably, how it would be incumbent upon the legislature to act to try to close incentives for this behavior, or at least try to address those issues so that other consumers could get the best possible pricing and fraud was not such a significant portion of the cost that was being built into their insurance. So right. I think it was learning the depths of both the true fraud that is taking place within the market and where individuals who have developed, again, I would call it organized crime without question, mm-hmm. who have developed business practices that, while yet might not be identified as illegal, should be, because right. they are clearly exploiting portions of Florida law to make money, and some might call it overutilization. I think that's awfully generous, and I think they created their own cottage industries.
Do you think that with, you know, AOB and what's happened with PIP, are consumers becoming more aware of, you know, how this fraud affects their insurance policies?
Amy, I think that consumers are becoming aware But I still think there is a significant void from consumers understanding the magnitude of that fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I would say that that there is still tremendous rate sensitivity by the consumer market in Florida that is unfamiliar with the magnitude of what fraud might be loading into those rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so though they might be aware of it because there has been more publicity and there's been more public discourse about the matter, I do not know that most Floridians can grasp again the magnitude of what presently is the assignment of benefit cost driver that is
right.
impacting and is going to continue to impact their rates unless something is done.
Right. So I guess what do you think that the industry could be doing better to sort of help the consumers understand or improve their reputation and maybe lessen that suspicion on that part?
Yeah, I think the insurance industry needs to communicate with an orientation towards serving the consumer in this
mm-hmm.
public policy debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the industry often speaks to when we went through many of the PIP reforms or when we went through the sinkhole reform that was in Florida, when we went through a number of initiatives on property insurance reform,
mm-hmm.
The industry would often begin the conversation in speaking about the consumer, but I think that for the consumer themselves, they would have anticipated that with some of the legislative successes to address those cost drivers, that they would have seen relief.
Mm-hmm.
And at best, sometimes the thing that the public policy reforms might have done was to arrest the rate of the increases in the rates.
Right.
And didn't really ever reset back to rates that consumers who were becoming informed would have thought they would have benefited if the
mm-hmm.
legislation would have passed. So
mm-hmm.
I think you have, again, right or wrong, that is a perception that exists. And so when time passes and you do a tremendous amount of PIP reform and a lot of the publicity is about the fact that there is an anticipated rate rollback that should occur if we could get this fraud out of the PIP system,
mm-hmm.
and there is a couple of flat years in rates, maybe a slight, you know, single digit reduction, and then off they go climbing again. I think consumers are suspicious, and I think that the industry could go a long way by communicating the actual evidence that it has in its, you know, in its databases
mm-hmm.
that could show what the magnitude of the losses that are occurring that are being built right back into the rate formula.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not coming from disputes over, you know, attorney's fees, et cetera. It's becoming these claims, these are the losses that we are now experiencing from these claims, and we want the public to see this and really focus on communicating that this is an issue. And we want to work with you on developing the policies that could and should be able to still offer a fair product with a very rapid response to a consumer when there's a legitimate claim filed, but does not allow a collection of individuals to exploit the opportunity to make money. And let's work at this hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it usually it becomes a number of lobbyists that take on the challenge that this has to be addressed. The conversation takes place in the halls of the state capitals, and the consumers are just seeing rates go up, rates go up, rates go up, and they're seeing a few articles about it, but never a real public awareness campaign to the public that we we want to work with you at addressing this issue. And mm-hmm. we want to make all of our data available. We want to walk you through what's taking place. We want to show you geographically on maps where this is now an epidemic. And let the public become truly informed and, mm-hmm. And allow the public to join, truly join in the conversation. In this Capitol right now, there are legislators that have felt the industry has talked about the consumer for many years, but has never ultimately passed on savings that they took votes believing would accomplish that goal. And there are other legislators here in the Capitol that see these as cost drivers, and notwithstanding the fact that maybe the story could be far better communicated, they're ready to go to bat for the consumer, but they're put in the position of much of the other participants in this process, suggesting that they are doing nothing more than being spokespeople for the industry. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe it is incumbent upon the industry, because the industry has the data and they have the technology, that they could be creating the types of presentations that have taken the homeowner associations, if taken the city hall, if taken and presented, you know, in forums and in front of the different media outlets, in conjunction with real consumer advocates for change. I think it would be an incredibly valuable movement, not only on this issue of assignment of benefits, but on an effort to try to, let's say, rehabilitate the image that the insurance company is really, really wants to serve its client at the right cost. And again, I think consumers, you know, believe that the rates that come is that the insurance company, you know, just wants more rates, and the government just keeps giving it to them. I don't think that, again, most consumers would, you know, without the right public communication, understand that these losses are required to be built into the rate filing, and mm-hmm. they're going to be granted. But when the public does understand it, then they turn back and they say, well, then what is the insurance company doing to help me fight this fraud?
Mm-hmm.
And they know the data. They know the bad actors. They know the trends before everybody else does. Why aren't they fighting this harder? And I think that's a question for the industry to answer.
And this year they did seem to be much more unified in that front. But are they doing enough?
No. Mm-hmm. But I think it could be tremendously beneficial if the industry would gather amongst itself and decide the consumers need to understand how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we suffer a legitimate loss to a fire or we suffer a loss to fraud, it's going to be placed into the rate making. And mm-hmm. we want the consumers to understand, we understand paying on a fire. We don't understand mm-hmm. paying on fraud, and we want you to join us in fighting that. I if they did get better at working together as an industry this past session, mm-hmm. but I would also tell you a bill that we passed this session mm-hmm. that was asking the industry to work more closely with us on trend lines.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 3 years to get industry players to say they were willing to, you know, stand down and to stop fighting the bill. There are some mm-hmm. players in the industry that believes any bit of the data that they hold is proprietary and it's a trade secret, mm-hmm. and they're not going to help. And again, my fraud investigators mm-hmm. can only begin to act when a referral is made.
Mm-hmm.
If I was sitting with the data inside an insurance company and I knew which street in a town where this activity was happening, if I knew which owners of properties, if I knew which contractors we were writing the checks to, I would be all over the sharing of my data mm-hmm. to try to arrest something before it became an epidemic And there are players that I believe the public also would suggest believes that as long as we can load it into our rate, it's going to be, we're going to get the rate we need, and the only one getting squeezed is the consumer. And there are players who think that way, and it comes across that way in conversation. And I do believe there is more that the industry could do in the development of strategic initiatives, the sharing of data and trend lines, the identification of the outliers, seeing where the abuses are taking place, and acting faster than for us to be trying to collect that from referrals of neighbors who saw somebody get a whole new roof, or possibly a referral from someone who heard someone say that guy, got a big water claim and got a new kitchen out of it. That's hardly the trend line in data that the insurance industry itself holds. And I would hope that they would be excited and desiring to work together and to work with our division in helping provide data on trends and narrowing our search to go after the bad actors. That would be very helpful.
Atwater said the industry came together more than ever this legislative session to encourage legislation against assignment of benefit abuse. But it wasn't enough, as no AOB bills were passed. Atwater said the industry's pushback in sharing information that would help consumers to understand the magnitude of fraud taking place in Florida is partly to blame, and that isn't a new problem. He encountered opposition from the industry in getting his anti-fraud legislation passed for several years, but this year they relented.
There have been, over the last 3 years, players within the industry that just said, no, we don't want to have to provide more information to you all. We don't want to have to be held in any kind of account of sharing that data. This is our proprietary data. This is our business model. Everything we do is a trade secret. And there are others within the industry who said, we are not concerned in the least. If it can help the consumer, if it can help the Division of Insurance Fraud, if it can help our own fraud division by looking at the data to be able to quickly identify where the schemes are taking place, who the players are, and get all the right parties involved to stop it, there were a number of players who've been supportive from the get-go. And regrettably, the industry itself was not altogether on board. So it's now going to take place. The governor will still need to sign it. And the other thing it did was our division pays for, provides the funding to local state attorneys for prosecutors to actually prosecute fraud cases that we would bring to that state attorney. And there have been a number of state attorneys who have enthusiastically identified the talent and designated that talent and made that talent available to our case. There have been other state attorneys that thanked me for the money but felt like they had different priorities and they were not going to give our cases any more interest than maybe some other case, notwithstanding the fact that I was paying for their prosecutor. This legislation puts in place a process to evaluate the performance of each one of those prosecutors. So my hope is that a future legislature will reallocate those people, those prosecutors, to state attorneys that actually want to enthusiastically fight fraud. So that was another part to the bill, and some state attorneys, again, just don't like having to allocate resources based upon who gave them the resource. And if my bottom line was, if you don't want to help me fight fraud, then just send me back my money and I'll send it to a state attorney who wants to help fight fraud.
Right.
And so hopefully in the next 24 months, we're going to get to do that.
It doesn't come as any surprise to the industry that, you know, there's a lot of insurance fraud. Do you think that this legislation is going to help make the punishment more fitting, I guess, for the crime, or, you know, for lack of a better term?
You know, that's a very legitimate question, and I think that we have certainly tried over the years to, based upon the magnitude or the repeat offender, try to address the issue of there being, you know, a real punishment for real crime, and this is a real financial crime. This is these people that are making money off of these really exploited AOB claims, this is just sophisticated robbery from thousands of people who are having to embed that cost in their next premium payment. So it is real, and I would tell you that we have had prosecutors, state attorneys, who have been far more aggressive in not wanting to, or far more aggressive in pursuing the ultimate penalty available to them under law. And so I would point to Miami-Dade, Jacksonville, that have really gone after and taken this most seriously. There have been other state attorneys that have said, look, you know, I've got other things in my bucket that I've got to address, and I don't consider this one as important as some of these others, and I get the perception of that, and therefore we're going to try to find a plea bargain with this individual, or we're going to do this, and we're going to move on and get it out of here. So there would not be the same level of enthusiasm in pursuing the penalties available under law in some jurisdictions, and that is something that we continue to press upon, and I hope that finally getting the authority to create a process that would allow me to reallocate prosecutors to places where those state attorneys are eager to fight this fraud, I think will be very good. And I can tell you, my sense is that as soon as I get to move the first one of these, that state attorney is going to call me on the phone and say, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Let me have that person back, and I'll show you I mean business. Because it's going to be a story unto itself, you know, that the state attorney so-and-so loses prosecutor to another county, and people are going to want to know why, and I hope the media will cover why. They just chose to not worry about the pain that this is causing their consumers or their constituents, and so we reallocated. But you can understand politically that state attorneys, each time we have tried to do this in the past, before I was able to get it and put in the law, would quickly call very powerful legislators and they would put in the budget that I had to leave the people where they were. So that was unfortunate, but now we're going to get that addressed. So now the world will see the report at the end of the year. How many cases were they referred? How many cases did they prosecute? And then we can start taking action on that. And I'm excited about that.
How rampant would you say insurance fraud is in Florida, and how does that compare to other states? I mean, one of the biggest things I've heard about AOB is that this is not happening in any other state, and insurance fraud in general seems to be a lot more of an issue in Florida, and that could also be because you're publicizing it more. But in your, you know, in your experience, what would you say?
I would say, well, we're the third largest state in the union, and therefore, anytime, you know, somebody would say, well, you seem to rank high on the list of water claims. You rank high in the list of auto claims. Well, so we have, because we happen to have more people doing owning a home, driving a car. So one, by our the magnitude of our size, we're going to have a significant amount of the good or the bad that might come with any particular industry's growth or the misgivings that might befall that industry. But I certainly cannot, I don't know that some of the other states choose to document and record the existence of some of this behavior as Florida has chosen to do so. So I'm not sure that I could, when I see, you know, the numbers of fraud arrests that are happening in New York, I don't know whether to say to you, wow, I guess all the citizens of New York, you know, are living under a particular code of conduct that there doesn't seem to be that kind of behavior. Or is it the fact that they're not as diligent and driven and committed to fighting it as we are in Florida? So it is, it's a little hard for me to maybe make a comparison. Mm-hmm. But I certainly do believe that when you had a PIP law that seemed to create the opportunity for people who, you know, were so committed to again this unlawful behavior, but with the money that was sitting in front of them at a trough, thought they would take the risk, that public policy had to get changed, and we had to get some of the money out of that trough so people would stop behaving the way they were behaving. It was no more of an incentive. And the same is going to happen to take place on AOB at some point. I would hope it would take place tomorrow, but the legislature has not yet acted, and I hope that they will act soon. So I do believe that there are some public policy issues. When we did make the changes to the PIP laws, we had a significant drop in referrals for PIP claims being fraudulent, and we had a significant drop in arrests for PIP fraud because, again, these individuals no longer saw an incentive to creating PIP clinics. We shut down 181 PIP clinics before we got the law changed by arresting people. And once we were able to get the public policy reforms done, it wasn't quite the same incentive for people to be setting up these false clinics. So it is an issue. We have some policy that may have created an occasion for some people to try to exploit making money at other people's expense. And we have a significant economy, which also I believe is why you would again see so many occasions. We've got that many cars on the road. We've got that many houses. We have that many small businesses. So I'm not sure I can make the comparison. I just know that we're trying to identify it and fight it and record it, publicize it. And I don't know any other state that maybe is bold in trying to address the problem publicly as we have been.
Looking back over your time, as CFO and your experiences that you've had in the different, financial industries and specifically with the insurance industry, have there been any experiences or moments that, really stood out to you in working with them?
Well, there have been. We just had a hurricane season last year where we had two named storms, both that caused, hundreds of millions of dollars in damage. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed with the reaction time that I saw from most of the industry, how mm-hmm. quickly they were on site, calling upon those who had reported a claim, as well as those within the same general vicinity who had not reported a claim, mm-hmm. To try to be on their game and trying to serve their client. And I was impressed and glad to see that kind of self-motivated initiative to quickly get in there and address those claims. So I would say again that was a real pleasant experience. Now, there is always going to be a case, in no matter what industry you're a part of, where someone makes a mistake on a loan file, on an application, or on a claim. And mm-hmm. it happens in every industry. Our responsibility is to see that nothing systemic begins to take place by any particular carrier. And we did not see any of that during these last two storms, these past two storms that hit Florida. We really believe people were trying to do their best. And knowing that if they did their best, they could probably take care of the claim in a fast and efficient way, which is what the expectation of their client would be. And we have a consumer advocate for those cases where there seems to be a question as to whether or not the insurance company did all it could. And we worked with certain clients, certain consumers in Florida, to go back to their insurance company and see if in fact there was more that could be done. And in many cases there was. And again, that was the right thing for the industry player to do. So, mm-hmm. so that was positive. I could say again on the side that I really believe there is an opportunity for improvement is in the communication. Mm-hmm. So frequently, the industry is asking legislators to address attorney's fees mm-hmm. or to allow them greater latitude on deductibles. Things that really stress the legislator into thinking, well, am I going to be harming a consumer if I do these things? Am I going to take away their access to somebody that could be their advocate? Am I going to be putting a burden on the consumer that they're not really going to be aware of until the time comes when that worst and unfortunate circumstance to take place? And so that's real, and that's a fair concern for legislators to hold. And I do believe if the industry was more enthusiastic about communicating with its customers and more generally informing the public as to the cost drivers that they would like to join them in addressing in a public policy arena, instead of just believing they will be the voice for their client. There is a suspicion that exists, and I think trying to do that in a more transparent sharing of the facts, seeing the data, seeing the incredible uptick in certain types of claims in very defined geographies by a handful of contractors, facilitated by a handful of trial lawyers. I think if consumers get joined in this conversation, it would be far more valuable, and the insurance companies hold the data and the information. And if any of those facts are to be contested, that's what our process is for: open, transparent debate on the facts. And mm-hmm. all the other parties, contractors, trial attorneys, service providers would have a chance to debate those facts openly. Mm-hmm. But counting on someone else to create the fact that the industry holds within its own portfolio and database is really missing out on an opportunity to include the public and lead a discussion, rather than just believe people might be convinced because they're being told it's true. And I think there's a real opportunity to embrace a broader, more open, transparent conversation with the public.
So what advice, I guess, would you have for the industry in that sense? I mean, how can they really engage consumers who are already sort of on the defensive, I guess, about why their rates are going up and, you know, well, I didn't commit fraud and, you know, why is this affecting me and I've been paying my policy for years and never had claims, you know, I guess how could they do a better job at engaging them there?
And well, I would think, where is my market share? Mm-hmm. I would invite, you know, don't misunderstand me. I don't think that's an easy exercise. I think it's a necessary exercise. Right. And if these insurance companies were going to try to increase market share by 1%, they would have their creative people in the room. They'd have their CFO in the room. They'd figure out what kind of budget was necessary to run that many ads inside that neighborhood, because that's where they wanted to start selling policies. You and I mm-hmm. both know that, and mm-hmm. businesses do that. But here is a significant movement that's taking place that is impacting and will impact, unless there's public policy change that is going to provide relief to consumers, they're going to continue to be standing in the middle of this with a lot of criticism. And some mm-hmm. of them won't be able to make their business model work if the politics ever get to the point where the price increases are not provided that might be necessary, just as you did after the 2004-2005 hurricane season, and you started seeing significant political influence. So, but I do believe if these players began to go to their consumers or work collectively to bring consumers in to forums in these geographies that are being crushed by this behavior mm-hmm. and put the data on an overhead projector, this is how many windshields we replaced in this area code in 2007, 2008, 2009, watch the line, 2010, 2011, 2012. Here is the number of insurance, here is the number of windshield installers that we wrote these checks to in 2007, in 2008, in 2009, in 2010. Mm-hmm. Wow, why is it that in the last 3 years we've gone from, you know, 100 windshields to 7,000 windshields? Why is it that one guy is accountable for 6,000 of those windshields? Mm-hmm. Let's allow the last 15 minutes for our legislator to talk with the audience about how this could be possible. I don't think you can run to your legislators who are already getting pounded by their constituents about rate issues and tell them this is good for their consumers. And they're saying, so I'm supposed to now vote to do away with these things And it's going to work like the reduction in PIP rates work, or it's going to result in like property rates dropping that didn't drop. This is a far more complex conversation that the public could see the exploitation taking place from the data provided by the industry, and the industry acknowledging that all we have to do is keep sharing this, our losses, with the insurance commissioner. By law, he must give us a rate that is adequate.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have to keep loading these in. Only you can help us, based upon this data that we are not keeping hidden any longer. You can help us. You can help us write those letters. You can help us tell this story. I don't know why the industry would not arm the people impacted with the information that could help them be the advocate for themselves. I think that would be very helpful to the industry to do.
Is the reason you're just hearing from them is because it's proprietary information?
It's bad, and I believe it's arrogant, and I believe it's lazy. And I'm not, just like I told you, after the hurricanes we had last fall, most players stepped up and did the right thing. I mean, I was really impressed how quickly they went to bat. But I am looking at some of the very same individuals that we have worked on MedMal with, we have worked on PIP with, we have worked on workers' comp with, and here it is, we've worked on sinkhole with, and here we are on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to say, it's just bad, and you know it's bad. Help us talk these legislators into voting for this. I said, that's one way to do it. But I have done that on PIP. I have done that on Sinkle. I have done that on Comp. Maybe if you all went back and spent a week and put together a PowerPoint presentation on the information that you know to be factual and brought it into a meeting, why won't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
What you tell me. Why we won't do that. The insurance company I represent just doesn't think that they should do that. And they think that the legislators should just understand how hurtful this is on their constituents. And I go, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me what the industry could do to try to break down the suspicion that they don't care, all they have to do is show the losses to the insurance commissioner and they get the rate that they need. If you're asking me how they could drop that suspicion and have the public understand that they're only passing along a cost that seems to be uniquely driven in a unique geography by a core group of bad actors, why would they not jump on the opportunity to tell that story and share that data? And so if words like arrogance or lazy would be offensive to the few that are choosing to stand on the sidelines, you know, I'm sorry if I've offended somebody. But if I'm in the industry and I know that my reputational risk and my brand is being run through the mud in editorials and TV spots every time a claim is not handled as quickly as maybe it should have been, or the public is never informed as to the real dispute that was underlying the media story, I would think, let's look for the opportunity where we could tell and show the public what the facts are.
Mm-hmm.
And the facts are that right now the public is getting screwed by a few people that are exploiting the public policy laws, and why wouldn't I jump on a chance to tell the story? And so I would hope that somebody wouldn't be offended as much as they would say, we asked for his advice, why don't we do something?
Well, now that you're getting ready, you know, to move on, and I know there isn't somebody appointed to your position yet, but what advice would you have for the next person in working with the industry? I guess what have been some of the strategies or situations or, you know, experiences you've had that have been useful for you in getting things done, like this you know, legislation that you passed this year, or working with the consumers and making sure that claims are handled properly?
Well, first off, it's the best job in all of Florida to be the CFO of the state of Florida. So they'd be stepping into a great role. When I look back on what we have done working with the industry, I'm incredibly proud and happy. We did the workers' comp back in 2003 that have saved hundreds of millions of dollars that small businesses have hired people, and I believe people have still gotten the quality of care that they were deserving and needed. And that was done side by side with the industry in a long effort. We addressed malpractice, medical malpractice reform. We did a lot for a property over the years to try to shore up the strength of domestic carriers and begin to depopulate citizens' property insurance and put that risk back on the private sector. Mm-hmm. And they have entrepreneurial employers come in and establish domestic companies that, for the most part, have done the right thing and did solid business models. That's been a tremendous success. We've made reforms in PIP. I don't know in the long term where PIP will go, or frankly in the short term where PIP will go. But we've worked hand in hand with the industry to try to work to get cost drivers out of that product that were adding no value unless you were a shyster. Then it was, of course, the best thing going. We addressed, you know, frankly, tremendous exploitation that was going on in the sinkhole industry that made it almost impossible for someone to buy a home in areas that might have a little more frequency to sinkhole than others. And that was not an easy task to get done. Mm-hmm. But likewise, we haven't always been on the same page. We see the consumer calls that come to us because people just do not understand the claims process, and we wanted there to be a claims bill of rights, homeowners claims bill of rights. The industry didn't necessarily see it that way, but we don't believe it's been a significant burden, and we believe in the long run it will keep costs down because people will work with the carrier rather than getting a lawyer. And likewise, we saw what we thought was horrific behavior by a few life insurance companies that weren't paying beneficiaries, even though they were aware that the death had occurred. And so we addressed that. So we haven't always been on the same page, but I would tell the individual that would step into this role that to work to build the relationships with these players in the industry, that the industry has the first sense of what's going right and what's going wrong, and to be able to work with them to try, even though sometimes it's difficult, get your hands upon the best data that can help you make the case for public policy change. That's important. And to stay mindful that the insurance industry is providing one of the most key ingredients into the economic success of the state of Florida. Again, without insurance, people don't buy a home. The bank is not going to take that risk. Without insurance, they're not going to make the loan for the small business. You know, without the insurance, the developer isn't going to build the building. It is incredibly important, and to be able to build these relationships, to be able to speak frankly, and know that within inside that frank conversation is tremendous respect. Is not built in a day, but it's built over time, and it'll serve both the people of Florida well, and this process of public policy making, it'll serve that process well as well.
Would they be doing themselves, in your opinion, sort of a disservice to come in to the position with that suspicion of the industry that, you know, many of the consumers have? And is it beneficial to have somebody in there who, you know, like you said, has experience in working with the industry and knowing the importance of the role that they play in the state?
Well, I think it has been the most dynamic part of the role that I've played as chief financial officer, is working with the economics of the industry, because the industry plays such an important role. into the growth of Florida, into the prosperity of every Floridian. So I do believe they have to understand that the role is that they need to help ensure that there is a dynamic marketplace of players, and that the marketplace sees Florida where their business model can work, that the the marketplace sees Florida as being receptive to addressing issues that arise, and that they that would be very beneficial for that person to approach the role that way. They would also, they are the consumer advocate. They, in the industry, would do itself well by understanding that this person is ultimately accountable to finding systemic issues that that may need to be addressed so that, that people can be served. And they're not trying to create a roadblock. They're not trying to be a master of a publicity. But certainly, I don't think we've ever used the office that way. We've never embarrassed a brand. We've never called somebody into the courtyard based on, you know, a unique event where a claim could have been handled better. We are looking for the systemic issues to help the consumer. And so I think that's a good, healthy relationship. And I would assume the person, whoever the governor picks, will quickly get up to speed and serve the people of Florida well.